and a warm welcome to Tech Advantage, a podcast by the Luxembourg Institute of Science and Technology. What if there was a vaccine against cancer? And not just any cancer, a vaccine against the particular form of cancer one is suffering from. Let's say a personalized vaccine, tailored to the individual characteristics of a patient. It might sound like science fiction for some, but personalized vaccine is one of the many promising aspects within the emerging field of personalized or individualized medicine, whose goal really is to tailor medical treatment to each patient, taking into account factors such as genetic makeup, lifestyle, and environment. César Pascual García, a lead research associate at LIST, is with us today to talk about a very interesting and important project that deals in personalized vaccine. Welcome to Tech Advantage, César.
Thank you, Paramita.
Before going into the heavy stuff, I stalked you a little bit. Sorry, I just went on your LinkedIn profile and I saw that your background is more into in solid state science, in material science. And I just wanted to know that from there, what is the link between that journey of yours in material science and something in personalized medicine or personalized vaccine?
Yes, that has been a journey because when I started to do my PhD, my PhD was on the potential of very small things into making a quantum computation. So that was the goal at the beginning. But then I started to have more relationship with biologists. And then my mind started to think about how we can use the small things in order to make better medicines and to tackle the challenges of biology. That was a little bit the change of mind.
And you came to Luxembourg from where?
Yes, I was working in Italy. I was working for the European Commission in the Institute for Health and Consumer Protection. And there were two things that made Luxembourg a very good deal. One is that I was going to have a baby, and that was going to be placed in Luxembourg because my wife was working here. And the second goal is that in the European Commission, I was very restricted because they have a mandate of what they have to do. Mm-hmm. And here I could open a grant, an attract grant by the FNR. And there they gave me a lot of freedom to pursue this difficult task that somehow was also my dream.
What was the difficult task?
The difficult task was to make devices for personalized medicines. To use these small things that I was studying when I was doing my PhD for quantum computation and that could be made very, very small, and to use them to manipulate molecules and to be able to get understanding of how molecules were working. What we wanted to do is that we wanted to manipulate them. So you have to do both. You have to see what are the interactions between the molecules, but also you have to be able to create these molecules, because the point of biology is that with very few building blocks, it's able to make very complex things. So it's like a book that you have 20 letters, and with these 20 letters, you can write each person's lifestyle, each person, genotype, phenotype. So you can describe a person with the proteins of a person.
Right. So, okay, you told me that why you came to Luxembourg because, you know, there was a baby on the way, there was your wife, of course. But why this project? Why, what I'm thinking is why from, is it just because you got this mandate, or did you have any other motivation to do something in this area?
No, it was when I started to work on the European Commission, let's say that I started to work there because I knew how to build small things. So they needed someone that was good in nanofabrication and that was good on... And then I started to work with biologists. Mm. And then they started to explain me their problems. And there was like an emerging field in the analysis of genetics and in the analysis of proteins. So, I mean, when we were going to have our child, I remember that the genetic analysis before the birth was starting to be possible. So it was something that the doctor told us, yeah, maybe we can do this analysis that is very expensive. Then 2 years later, I had my second child here also in Luxembourg. And that analysis was regular. I mean, it was something...
It had become routine,
Became routine. I mean, if you want to, you're going to have a child above some age, they already give you, they prescribe you this analysis. So the genetics, the analysis of genetics was very, very... I mean, it was the time when everything was bursting. What it has not yet become so normal is to analyze the proteins of each person. And this is more difficult. And to analyze the proteins, you need a way to manipulate them. Because the analysis of genetics has been because we got means to manipulate the DNA. But we don't have the same facility to manipulate proteins.
Since we are, you know, going into that analysis of proteins and stuff like that, let's now talk about the project, you know, the project that you're working on. Because Electromed, if I remember correctly, that was basically the project that you came to Luxembourg with.
Yes. The initial project was an idea that could be used for an application like the one we described in Electromed, but for many other applications, that was to control the synthesis of proteins, so the fabrication of these proteins, in very small spots, so in very small regions. This is what I call the manipulation of proteins. I mean, you want to replicate a part of a segment of a protein, and you want to do it in a very small space, because if you can do it in a very small space and you can parallelize, then you can fabricate many of them.
Okay, let's just why do we need to analyze proteins, first of all?
Proteins are the machines that make things work in living beings. So they're like, they call the machines of life.
Okay.
The idea is that when something is not working well, it's because there is a protein that can be different, that is not working well. So when we have a complicated disease such as cancer, the idea is to find if we can find some of these proteins that can alert the immune system to say, look, whatever you find this protein that is wrong, kill it.
Okay.
That's the vaccine.
So the protein actually alerts the immune system. Is that so? If something is wrong, if there is a cancerous cell or something, and what type of protein? Which protein are we? Because
it's a little bit confusing because they're all proteins. And so, as I said, the proteins are the machines. And then you have other molecules like the DNA that has the book of instructions of the proteins.
Yeah.
And you have also the membrane, which decides what is inside the cell and what is outside the cell. But the membranes are very similar. And you have other molecules that can be particular. But the proteins are the ones that are working. Okay, so if there is something working not well, it's because maybe a protein has been changed. When you find that part of the protein that is not working well, and that can be recognized by the immune system that also has proteins that are looking for
the good proteins
the
that
good
are
proteins.
Looking for the bad proteins,
exactly.
Basically. Okay.
The good proteins are looking for the bad proteins. When they find them, they stick to them, and they generate a signal that makes the immune system and the killer cells, so-called killer cells, to kill the cell that had the wrong protein. So if we can alert the protein, we can alert the immune system, look, this is the fragment that you have to look for. then we can make the vaccine that can be used for the personalized cancer.
So your project is about allotting the good proteins within the immune system, is that so?
Yes, the bad proteins that we're looking for, they don't need to be very big. We only look for the fragment that is different, for the fragment that is wrong.
Okay.
That fragment, not always, but many times, can be represented by a sequence of 10, 15 amino acids. These are 10, 15 building blocks of the proteins. So when the immune system finds these 10, 15 amino acids, then he knows that you can attack that cell that has that protein.
Yeah.
We can tell the body to fabricate only that 10, 15
blocks of amino acids.
Blocks amino acids with an RNA vaccine. It's the same vaccine that was developed for COVID. So that that was very easy for them, because the COVID has proteins that are very different than the proteins that we have in the body. So their job was to find one of these fragments that all the people, all the immune systems could distinguish and could find. And then when you give it in enough quantities, then the immune system pushes the accelerator and says, okay, we be alert for this fragment. And when they find it, they kill it. So this is why the vaccines was somehow not so difficult, because the COVID, it's something external. It's very easy to distinguish from the proteins that we have in the body. Cancer is a little bit more tricky. Because,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, because...
Yes, exactly. The cancer, it's something that you generate. The cancer belongs to you.
It's not external.
Nope. So it's something that you're generating, and you have to find the part of the cancer that is different to all the parts of the body. And this is more difficult. This requires more screening, more distinguishing the good peptides from the bad peptides.
What is a peptide?
A peptide is a fragment of a protein.
Ah, so the amino acids that we were talking about.
Yes, exactly. So okay. when I was discussing the fragments of the proteins, is because the proteins can be big, but what the immune system is looking for is just a fragment of these proteins. They don't look to the whole protein at the same time. They just look these fragments. And this, we call it a peptide. And when the peptide, it's something that has been generated in the cancer, then we can call it neoepitope. When you find one of these neoepitopes and is different from the molecules of the, is different from the other fragments that you can have in the body, then you have the possibility to make a vaccine. And this is what we try to do. This is what we try to do, a system that you can screen these combinations. The bad news is that there are 20 amino acids. And if you think, what are the combinations that you can make with 10 amino acids? There are many. There are more combinations that you can make than the number of transistors, or let's say, or devices that we have built until now.
So, sorry to interrupt. You were talking about screening, but where does the device come in the picture? So it's an instrument? It's a screening instrument?
Yes, it's an instrument that has a chip.
Yes.
And in the chip, what we place is, we place many detectors that detect when the proteins attach to these peptides.
When you say we place them, where do you place them? I'm sorry, I'm asking very silly questions.
No.
But I just want to visualize the thing, you know?
So imagine a microchip similar to the microchips that you have on your phone, or that you have in the microprocessor of a computer, okay? Or like, for example, a microchip similar to the camera that you have on your phone. And imagine that each one of the pixels of the camera is a sensor that is detecting when a protein is being attached to that sensor.
Okay.
Okay, the protein is going to attach to the sensor if the sensor has the sequence,
which is similar to the bad
proteins.
Protein, yeah, okay.
So the challenge is that you have to put in each one of the pixels of the camera one sequence that somebody has to tell you that has a probability that is one of the bad sequences. And the revolution that has been made recently is that now these sequences, you can guide them with artificial intelligence.
How?
Because what you do at the beginning is that, remember that I told you that the book of the protein is the DNA?
DNA, yeah.
Yes. So you can go to the DNA and you can try to read the DNA and read what are the differences between the healthy cells and the cells of the cancer, of the tumor. And then you can find out what are the differences. Once you found this, you make this experiment. That's the only wet experiment that you make. Once you find these differences, you put the sequences in the computer, and the computer will start to find out what are the sequences that can be found by the molecules of the immune system. And then you have a book that is guiding you what are the molecules that have more probability to attach. But you have to make the final experiment.
Mm.
And this is where our instrument is coming from. We're making the instrument that can reproduce those sequences that artificial intelligence tell us that are in the cancer and have probability to be recognized by the immune system of the person. And then once we can make this thing, then we can provide information to fabricate the RNA vaccine.
And how far are you in, let's say, the final product, the final phase?
So in order to make, I mean, still even with artificial intelligence, you have to make many, many sequences, many of these bad guys. So our idea was to use chips like the ones of the camera, so Field effect transistors, I mean, something that you can do with semiconductors. And we had to use electricity to fabricate these proteins. That was a challenge. So we had to combine chemistry with electricity.
And where are you getting the sick cells from? In the sense, the sick bad proteins from? Because
that's a biopsy. So
you're working with an institute or something? How?
No. This has been demonstrated that works. So, I mean, May last year, BioNTech presented some results that they had cured pancreatic cancer making a personalized vaccine. So they had recruited some patients. From 30 patients, they found out that they could find these bad sequences on 16 patients or candidates of sequences. So they could make the vaccine for 16 patients that had pancreatic cancer. One, it is called non-immunogenic pancreatic cancer. That in simple words means these people were going to die. And from these 16 people, 8 survived.
Oh my God.
And one of them had metastasis, and the metastasis disappeared because of the immune system of this person attacking the cancer. Now, the problem is that to do this, they had to do all this job that I have described about selecting the bad sequences from the genetic differences that they found with artificial intelligence. And this took them a lot of time, working very hard, very significant part of a big company like BioNTech, working for this for 8 patients. If we want to be able to bring it to more people, we have to accelerate those discoveries. We have to accelerate this analysis.
And I'm thinking about cost.
Exactly. The costs are very high. So this is where we are coming. Our system is miniaturized. It reduces a lot, not only the consumption of reagents, which is relevant when you're going to scale up, but also the time that you need to do these experiments. So in normal conditions, fabricating one of these peptides, it can take weeks. If you are going to have one of the most advanced methods for this, you can reduce this and you can produce many peptides in a microarray, and they give a very big numbers, something like 200,000 peptides in a microarray. Now the problem is that when you produce them in a microarray like such as this, you don't know, you're not sure that each one of the peptides, each one of the spots are the one that you had designed.
Mm.
So you have a problem of quality control. in our system, we have means to follow how this thing is growing. We have means to see that the reactions, the chemical reactions of building up these peptides have been correct, and then you can follow. So right now we have a proof of concept with not with very few sensors, but these sensors are made in a way that we know what is the route to scale up and to make a bigger chip.
So in how many years' time we can say that, all right, a cancerous patient goes to a hospital or, I don't know, to a clinic, and that person's, you know, receives a vaccine against their typical form of cancer? How long are we thinking?
I don't know if it is going to be with our device or if it's going to be with some other solution that somebody else is thinking. The proof that this thing is working has been done. So I think that I'm not able to say how long will it take, because, of course, there are many regulatory hurdles that one have to think about when you're doing a personalized medicine.
Yeah, that was basically the next question. What were the regulatory considerations? Yeah. Basically?
So when you made the COVID vaccine, we had to test the COVID vaccine in many people, and then when we were sure that it was safe, then it was released to everyone. How do you do that when you don't have patients? You have one medicine that is for one disease for one person, so you have to think in a different way. But this is something that it's happening. And right now you have it's not so different the way, for example, now you have the cell therapies, mm-hmm. and these ones are breaking in and they do something which is not that different. I mean, they just create artificially the receptors on the T cells. So
T cells
are this killer.
Ah, okay.
Killer cells, the ones that look for the
bad guys. Yeah.
Exactly. It's. I think that in 10 years we will see cancer in a very different way, in a way that okay, it's not nice, but you have a possibility now to
survive.
To survive, yes. Thanks to the vaccines or thanks to the cell therapies. There are all of them. They have similar approaches that are using the immune system to heal yourself. It's just a way to alert the immune system about what they have to look for and how they have to look for.
The device that you are working on, mm-hmm. can it be used to screen other kinds of, I mean, not just cancer cells, or can it be used to target
yes.
other viruses, for example, or
yes. As I said, this is a platform of peptides and proteins. We focus in immunology because we cannot make very big proteins. Our proteins are limited to, small fragments. As I said, between 9 and 15 building blocks of this amino acid. So we can. The immunology, because many of the proteins that the immune system is using to detect the things that are coming from outside, they only need these short fragments to find out. Then it's perfect for our platform is perfect for this application. So our platform has use in immunology, but any other application of life. In which you have interactions between short fragments of proteins and other proteins, then you can design your peptide microarray, because this is what we have created. We have created a programmable peptide microarray.
Peptide microarray?
Yes. Microarray is an array, so let's say some order of molecules, where each position of the array corresponds to one of the sequences of the peptides that we want.
Just coming back to the device again that you have, can I say invented or created? Created, well, maybe.
Working with more people, yes.
Yes. How big is this device?
The prototype that we have now is like it's a little bit bigger than a desktop device.
Desktop device in the sense, a desktop computer.
Something that stays on the top of the desk.
Okay, so I'm trying to picture the thing. So you have the device. What do you do then, concretely speaking, within the device?
So let's say that if you go to the doctor and the doctor finds that you have some problem, then he's going to determine a biopsy.
Yeah, do a biopsy.
Yes.
And there's the cell, the cancerous cell is there in the biopsy,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Yep. Then what they're going to do is that they're going to analyze the cells that are healthy and the cells that come from the tumor.
Yeah.
And they're going to find what are the differences. And usually these differences happen because the genes have been upregulated or downregulated. So the body is all time activating and deactivating genes. And this produces differences in the way that we produce proteins. This is language that we don't understand. When you see
talking to me.
No, what nobody understands. I mean, I think nobody reads in the language of proteins. Only the computers read. They find the differences,
yeah.
And they start to find correlations between some of the sequences that can be detected by the immune system.
So what do they? What does the doctor do then after the, with the? Sorry?
It's the laboratory, and then the laboratory is going to say like we have these candidates that can make vaccines. So what they do is that they have to test which one of these candidates are going to produce an immune reaction.
Which of the candidates, meaning?
Of the sequences of the proteins that were found different in the cancer.
Okay.
So they have these small fragments of proteins, and they try to see if they can be found by the immune system, as the computer says. So they have to verify it. And this is now the bottleneck. They have to make all these candidates, that are many of them, and they can do different steps. At the end, you want to cultivate some cells and you want to check that the immune system is reacting towards.
So here where is your device comes in.
Exactly.
So here that device facilitates, if I understood correctly, the process of matching.
Yes. Imagine that instead of fabricating a test for thousands of molecules, our device is going to narrow it to 20. This is our goal. We want to narrow everything to 20 because 20 are the number of sequences that you can put in the vaccine.
Okay.
So you narrow it to 20, to the 20 that our system is going to find as best candidates, because our system is also going to give more information that just it binds or does not bind, it because it's going to say which one binds stronger. And once you have these 20 candidates, you can speed up a lot and decrease the cost, because you have you don't have to concentrate on the ones that are not going to work.
So tomorrow, I'm thinking a company like BioNTech can come to you and say,
"Yes,
Cesar, we are going to use.
We're here. We're open.
We want to use your device to get the number down to 20.
Yes,
yeah.
We have a proof of concept that right now is making very small, very short molecules the way we want with this electricity. And now what we have to do is that these systems are more reliable. They can make longer peptide sequences. And when we are these, then we will become very interesting for these companies.
And what is the future? I mean, what does the near future look like? I know that you are telling that you already have a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other advancements?
Now we have made a proof of concept, and we have shown many advantages. So, for example, the small proteins that we are making them in the traditional method takes days or 1 week, and now we can make it in 4 hours.
Oh.
Well, our goal is not to make it in 4 hours, but to make them in 20 minutes. So that's the next step. That's one of the next steps. We have to optimize. We have to pass from protein fragments of 5 amino acids to fragments that have to reach 15 amino acids, and we have to improve the signal so we are sure that what we are building every time is exactly what is the sequence that we are programming. This is the advantage. This is one of the advantages respect to the current techniques that can have like many, many molecules, is that we can provide step by step that everything is working well. The second advantage is that we are going to be able to provide not only which are the molecules that can bind to the immune system, but what are the molecules that bind stronger to the immune system.
How many people are there in your team?
We are between 3 and 4 people. That's the people working mainly for the project, but we count with the Least platform. And the Least platform, they have people that you can, if you have to prototype a sensor, then you go to one of our very good engineers, and then you go and you ask, Mathieu, can you please build me this? Olivier, can you help me with this program that I have to make? So permanently there are 3-4 people, and but there are many people that are coming in, coming out in the project.
Well, César, thank you so much. I wish you all the luck with this prototype, and I really, really hope that it becomes what it promises to be, and it can help people who are suffering from cancer and other diseases. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you. But if it is not us, somebody will do something.
Hopefully.
This is what science has. The science always opens its way to improve the things. Thank you.